as we work through this. Young people, I don't have to tell you that we live in a crazy world today. As you can see at the top of the paper, the title of the message is The Danger of a Lack of Discernment. I'm going to say a couple of things as we get started. Number one, just because I quote somebody doesn't mean I believe everything they say. Okay, so I hope you know that up front. This morning, just a casual reading of some news. There's a school in Utah where the kids staged a walkout and protest of the school. And the reason that they did was because there are a group of students who claim to be dogs. And those dog students are allowed to bite and attack the other students. And if the students defend themselves, they get in trouble. True story. Okay. We live in a crazy world, don't we? The truth is, if we had a dog that bit somebody, we either chained them or did something else to them. Okay. We never saw them again. I'm not suggesting that we shoot people. I'm not saying that. It's crazy that the kids who would defend themselves are the ones getting in trouble. Young people, you have at your disposal, because of the internet and social media, you have at your disposal more information than anybody in the history of the world has ever had. I'm not saying it's good information. I'm not saying that some of it wasn't available, but your grandparents couldn't have gotten to it if they'd wanted to. They could go to a library. It's what we're building over here. It has these things in it that you pull off a shelf. You actually open the book up. Those are becoming obsolete as well. But now you can Google search something and get a million hits on an article that deals with that subject just like that. Well, what that requires for us is some discernment. Now, it's easy for us to say people acting like dogs are wrong. Like we know that, right? This is not difficult for us to figure out. What's more difficult is what's taking place in what we would call the broader Christianity and the arguments that are coming and the way people are using scripture and so forth. And I can tell you, it's not if you will deal with it in your ministries, it's when. People are going to come to you with all kinds of things, and you're going to have to determine, okay, what does God's word have to say on this subject? And that means you got to be in God's word. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and following, we'll come back to this text in a little bit. But of whom we have had many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. They're immature. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with the ability to think biblically. Dictionary.com defines it as to distinguish mentally, to recognize as distinct or different, to discriminate. Now, that word has a bad connotation, but we'll see how it plays into what we're talking about here today. Discernment is about the skill of thinking biblically about life. From the book, the Discipline of Spiritual Discernment, which is an excellent book. Again, I don't agree with everything the author says, but it is a fantastic book on this subject. Discernment is the skill of understanding and applying God's word with the purpose of separating truth from error, right from wrong. In this book, he said that it was written for all those who believe that it is the duty of every Christian to think biblically about all areas of life, so that they might be able to act biblically in all areas of life. You understand that your thinking impacts your acting, right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you think about is how you're going to act. So if your thinking's wrong, your acting's going to be wrong. Right now you might be faking it, but that thinking will catch up with you. It will happen eventually. So I want us to look at a number of things as we work through this morning. Why of discernment? Why do we have discernment? Why do we need it? And I want us to look at a couple of things about this. First, we'll look at some arguments. And we're going to look at two areas, one of which you're probably more familiar than the other. The first is the idea of polemics. A polemic is a person who argues in opposition to another. A polemic is more of an offensive strategy. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. These people were wrong, and Paul named them. He called them out and said, they're wrong, and they've caused great problems. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2, beware of dogs, not the humankind. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Again, Paul is directly calling out a group of people and how they're acting and warning them. Okay, that's a polemic. We sometimes must say that person is wrong and their doctrine is wrong. That has to happen sometimes. That's never fun. Okay, but we have to do that sometimes. The second one you're more familiar with, and that's the word apologetic. This is a defending by speech or writing. It's a verbal defense, if you will. You're familiar with this. It comes from the Greek word apologia. It's a verbal defense, a speech in defense, or a reasoned statement or argument. Okay? Philippians 1 and verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. And of course, the verse that's probably most familiar, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. But sanctify, that word sanctify there is in the aorist imperative. And it carries then through the rest of this sentence, right? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer, a verbal defense to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That is meekness, a mildness of disposition, a gentleness of spirit. So even we have to tenaciously defend truth, we should do so with a gentle spirit. And then with fear, that is the terror, the dread. You're like, fear of what? Fear of what may happen to us if we give up truth. Fear of how is our God going to view us in our defense of truth. There's a lot of ways that we could go with that. Spiritual discernment is a pursuit that must always engage the mind. Always engage the mind, okay? So if you're sitting here vegging this morning, you're not being very discerning. By the way, should you be discerning in chapel? Absolutely. Can I tell you that I tell the people at Emmanuel they should be discerning? They should be checking what I say with Scripture. That's what they're supposed to be doing, all right? If not, you're going to get into trouble. So we must be willing and able to defend truth and expose error. We have to be willing and able to do that. Number two, we talk about the advantage. The advantage. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. The word understanding here means understanding or discernment. By the way, I'm not going to take the time throughout the message to delineate every Hebrew and Greek word. There are multiple of them used, but most of them go back to a basic idea of this idea of a discernment. Okay, so I'm not going to delineate each of those every time. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father and attend to know understanding. Proverbs 4 and verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. God wants us to have discernment, but we must spend time in God's Word to recognize truth. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to study error, but can I tell you the best way to recognize error is to know this book. When you know this book, you will know when error comes. My sister-in-law worked for a large auction company, car auction company in Florida for many, many years. She would routinely count $1 million in cash at auctions. That didn't include credit cards and checks, just cash. And she worked there before machines started counting money. And she said, nobody ever taught me to know what counterfeit money was. But she said, as I counted the real money, I knew exactly what counterfeit felt like. And she could always pull it aside. She would just lay it aside every time it was counterfeit money. No truth, you'll be able to recognize error. Okay, number two, the warnings about discernment. There are some problems that come with discernment. I want us to just quickly, and I don't have time to camp on this, but also talk about the commitment to discernment. If you're not committed to truth and therefore to the discernment that comes from truth, then you're wasting your time, really. You're not going to be able to handle things. I think we need to be committed individually. Okay, Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And some of these verses we've already read. We will give each account of our lives and what we did for truth. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, Ambassador Baptist College didn't. We're going to give an account for what we did and didn't teach you. But you're individually accountable to God. That is a Baptist distinctive, by the way. But number two, families need to be committed to discernment. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and intend to know understanding. So as God imparts to us people in our lives, our family members that can instill truth in us. You say, well, I don't always agree with my parents. That's good, because we as parents don't always agree with ourselves. I can tell you, I'm not the same parent that I was when I first started parenting. With my first child, I knew everything. My fourth child, I knew nothing. One girl who walked away from Christianity made this statement. But we never spiritually played together, she said. Without that deeper engagement, my faith simply remained shallow and was based on living out a copy of what those around me were doing. I left home with a completely borrowed faith. I had never made it my own, but not because I rejected it in any way. Many parents are brokenhearted when their kids reject Christianity in the teen years. I would suggest that many other parents are lulled into a false sense of security when their kids appear to toe the line of faith until they leave home. Then faith often amounts to little more than borrowed beliefs, which will soon be shattered. Can I tell you, young people, there's some of you sitting here. That's exactly where you're at. It's a borrowed belief. Hey, get in this word. Get in this word. Because it's very soon, if it's not already here, not going to be good enough because daddy said so or because a professor said so. You need to know so because of what God's word says. By the way, if you want to help your family as you have your own children, engage them in questions. Foster an environment in which your kids can ask questions. The family needs to be committed. Dads and moms, we must engage our children in the tough questions so that we can flush out error and reinforce truth in their lives. I want to know what my kids were thinking when they were at home. If they were thinking wrong, I had opportunity to correct them. I had one of my kids one time say, Daddy, I want to disagree with you in this area. And I said, okay, where's your Bible for that? They said, don't have Bible. I'm like, well, then it's worthless. They might end up disagreeing with me, but if you don't have Bible to back it up, it's worthless, right? The Word of God is what we must do. And then the local church must be committed to truth. It's the most natural context in which to learn, to model, and to practice spiritual discernment. The local church should be that way. One of the reasons why God gave pastors in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yes, we want you to individually commit to truth. Yes, we want you to family-wise commit to truth. But can I tell you that since the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, you need to be committed to it. And in it, you need to get truth. Know how to apply it to your hearts and lives. So are you listening and applying truth as taught by the shepherd God has placed over you, over the flock in which you're a part of? We must cling to truth and reject error. So as we think through this process, we see the commitment to discernment. But number two, I want us to see the composure of discernment. The composure of discernment. How do we work through this? I'm going to quote a little bit of a lengthy quote. And again, I don't agree with everything here, but John Stott speaks of the importance of speaking truth in love. Thank God there are those in the contemporary church who are determined at all costs to defend and uphold God's revealed truth. But sometimes they are conspicuously lacking in love. When they think they smell heresy, their nose begins to twitch, their muscles ripple, and the light of battle enters their eye. They seem to enjoy nothing more than a fight. Others make the opposite mistake. They are determined at all costs to maintain and exhibit brotherly love, but in order to do so, are prepared even to sacrifice the central truths of Revelation. Both of these tendencies are unbalanced and unbiblical. Then he makes this statement. I think I have it in your notes. Truth becomes hard if it is not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. What a powerful statement. The apostle calls us to hold the two together, which should not be difficult for spirit-filled believers, since the Holy Spirit himself is the spirit of truth and the first fruit of him is love. There is no other route than this to fully mature in Christian unity. Truth becomes hard if it's softened by love. If it's not softened by love, love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. The balance of speaking the truth in love. It is hard to say that the word discernment has negative connotations to the minds of many Christians and non-Christians alike. For those who claim to exhibit discernment are often those who lack love. Somehow the desire to defend the truth seems to overshadow the ability to exhibit love. I've had people say this directly to me. If I have to choose between truth or love, I'm going to speak for truth. Can I tell you, you're still wrong? The Bible doesn't say just speak truth. It says speak truth in love. So if you're only speaking truth and not speaking love, are you still disobedient to Scripture? There wasn't a whole lot of you that agreed with that, but you are. By the way, if you're only speaking love and no truth, are you still disobedient to Scripture? Yes, you are. Both of them are necessary. That's so important as we go through this. Remember that we're to defend ourselves. We're to give an answer with what? With meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Can I tell you, young people, that this very process almost made me reject discernment completely? I didn't understand all the nuances of it, but I was so tired of people only harping on truth that it made me want to walk away from it. Now, I made my own choices. But you know what I figured out? When I went to the side that was all love, I couldn't handle that either. Because they didn't stand for anything. And I remember one day saying to my wife, is there nobody that can do both? Because that's what God wants us to do. By the way, it shouldn't be our absolute delight to walk around pointing out error all the time. It should break our heart. But truth must always be championed no matter the cost. People have said to me at times, well, you must love confronting people. I'm like, what gave you that idea? Just because I do it doesn't mean I love doing it. I happen to love people. And when I love people, confronting them with truth is something that's going to have to happen. Okay, number three. The working out of discernment. Okay, what does it actually look like? How do we do this? And a number of things that we're going to work through here. Okay, number one, discernment produces separation. That is probably one of the most critical things that I'm going to say this morning. Discernment produces separation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians 11, 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not distinguishing, not making a judgment. This root word, by the way, means to separate, to make a distinction, to discriminate. Okay? Again, that word has a negative connotation, but it means to prefer. So in other words, when I discern, it means I'm going to have to separate from error. If I never separate from error, listen to this, young people. If I never separate from error, I am not discerning. I'm not. I can say whatever I want to, but I'm not discerning. One author says discernment simply means to make a clear distinction. Acts 11 and verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. That's the word. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 5. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. At its root, biblical discernment demands that I separate. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. There's a separation there. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. By the way, this is the same root word for discerning in 1 Corinthians 11:29. To separate. To pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong. To censure. To contend together. It actually speaks of warriors and combatants. You don't walk on a battlefield and say, I think you and I are going to be buddies. If they're the enemy, our job is to take them out. We're going to be separating from them. Are you willing to separate? And what cost are you willing to pay for separation? Now, some of you, you don't understand that yet, but can I tell you, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to make some decisions, and it's going to cost you church members. It's going to cost you friends. It may cost you your church. But you're going to have to stand with truth. Letter B, discernment requires self-scrutiny. 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Galatians 6 and verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Young people, I want to give you a little bit of a warning here. If you are constantly pointing out error in others, and you're never dealing with error in your own life, something's wrong. Because I promise you, you've got error in your life. You say, how do you know that? For all have sinned. That's how I know that. We all have it. And if you don't believe you have anything else, you got pride. So just deal with that. All right. That'll help you. When you sense wrong, do you first look in your life or other people's lives? By the way, we typically see sin that we struggle with in other people's lives. That sin that you can't stand in your roommate, that's probably because that's your sin tendency. That's really uncomfortable, isn't it? Letter C, discernment produces stability. James 1:6-8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. By the way, some of these words are the same words that the authors keep using. Let him that's weak in the faith, Romans 14:1, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Okay? If you have discernment, it produces stability in your life. The more you apply Scripture to your lives, the more stable you will be. So are you unstable? If you are, then that means the Word of God is not being applied to your life. Are you easily influenced by the latest fad? Let's get in God's Word. Letter D, discernment is strenuous. We're back to our Hebrews passage, right? What does he say in that passage of scripture? Some of you don't have it. You're still babes. You still require the meat and not the milk and not strong meat. But he says in that last part, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who have by reason of, what's the next word? Use. Have their senses exercised. The word means to exercise vigorously, to discern both good and evil. Have you ever done an activity that you hadn't done in a while? What happens to your muscles? They get sore? If they don't, they will. Just wait till you get older. You'll think, why is that activity so hard? All I did was bend over to fix something, you know? You're like, man, my hamstrings are sore. What's up with that? It's old age is what it is, okay? But when you don't use something for a while, all of a sudden you get sore and you have to work up the muscles again and all that kind of stuff. Okay, what God's saying, if you do not use this book, if you're not constantly applying it in your life and in your ministry and you're always in it, then you're going to be weak. The only way to get strong at using the word is to use it. You've got to do that over and over and over again. We ought to be thinking when we're viewing social media, when we're reading an article, when we're listening to a message, when we hear a conversation, we ought to be thinking, how does this line up with truth? And if it doesn't, okay, what's wrong with this picture? I'm not talking about every conversation around the dinner table. You say, could you guys hold on a second? I'm not sure that we should be talking about that because that's not truth. Okay. But you should be at least thinking. Put your thinking cap on. If we discern, if we will not be able to vegetate if we're going to be discerners. We must keep our minds alert. Again, how do you listen to preaching? Letter E, discernment is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. By the aid of the Holy Spirit can we do this. This word discern means to examine, to judge, to investigate, to scrutinize, to inquire. Scripture makes it plain. If you're not a person who exhibits and exercises discernment, you are not a mature Christian. Only those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit have the capacity to exercise true spiritual discernment. Without the Holy Spirit, without spiritual discernment, Christians would be no better off than unbelievers. For we would stumble blindly in our search for truth, never able to separate truth from error. We won't be able to do that if we're not in the Word of God. I've counseled Bible college graduates who did not know simple truth. They sat right here. You're like, what's the matter? Did Ambassador do a poor job of learning? Well, their classmates got it. What happened? They're not using it. They weren't listening when it was taught. See, young people, all we can do is give you truth. We can't force you to apply it. We can't force you to use it all the time. We can't even actually force you to listen. We can force you to act like you're listening. Right? But you're going to have to make these applications for yourself. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to apply truth to your life in all areas? Okay, discernment, letter F, discernment requires searching. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Again, if you guys who love to do studies, look at these words and you'll see how they're interconnected. Discernment itself is rooted in the understanding that there is good and bad, that there are God's ways and other ways. Not all roads lead to the same place. They just don't. By the way, even the other religions who claim that don't believe that either. They don't. Are you more like Berea or Thessalonica? By the way, Thessalonica was a great church in many ways, but they were easily persuaded by false prophets. Paul had to come back and write to them and say, hey, shore this up in these areas. Letter G, discernment allows self-determination. In other words, people will have differing views. 1 Corinthians 10:25-27, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. No question, that word question there. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you are disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, you already have discovered this, but you're going to run across people, good people, who disagree on some things. That's going to happen. And when we're talking about some of these gray areas, it's okay. Ooh, it's tense in here, isn't it? I'm preaching through 1 Corinthians at Emmanuel right now. We are in chapter 9, okay? When I preached through chapter 8, talking about whether it's right to eat meat or not eat meat, you ready for this? I didn't wear a tie on Sunday morning. Do you know why? Because I have some people who think that you have to wear a tie. But can I tell you, ties don't commend you to God. They don't. Like, when are we changing the rule? We're not. And I wore a tie last Sunday to Emmanuel. I was using it as an illustration. You're going to run across people that you disagree with. Okay. That's all right. Discernment recognizes that people will have differences on minor points and will allow those without interrupting fellowship. It's okay that we can disagree on some things. It's okay. We could still be spiritually mature in that. Letter H, probably the dub point of the day, is discernment needs the scriptures. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is related to judging. It's fit for judging. It's skilled in judging. The word of God is that way, isn't it? You ever had something where you sat down in your devotions, didn't even know you needed something, and the Holy Spirit of God took a verse and went, boom. You're like, oh. I needed it, but I just didn't know I needed it. While all Christians are eager to embrace the Bible and to treat it as a precious possession, few are willing to give it the preeminence it demands for itself. How important is the Word of God to you? Like, are you kidding me? I'm in it all the time. I'm talking about 2 weeks from now. Saturday morning after graduation and Monday morning after that. How important is it to you? Because that'll determine what kind of summer you have. It will. Men and women of discernment will separate truth and error, not on the basis of what seems to work out, but on the basis of the unchanging truth of the Bible. They will not be fooled or led astray by pragmatism, but will return always to the scriptures. What does God's word say? Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, people without a fixed point in which to operate, we are all drifting and we don't know it. Our fixed point must be the Word of God and not the shifting sands of culture. How do we make cultural allowances and yet remain true to God's Word? That requires discernment. You're like, we shouldn't allow the culture to dictate things to us. I understand what you're saying, but the fact is we do. Like, there are cultural things that happen. So how do we determine whether that's biblically right or wrong? We have to be in God's word. Letter I, discernment can be symptomatic. In other words, it can tell us other things if we lack it or if we have it. Romans 1 and verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, without understanding. Again, Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. So if I'm struggling with discernment, that's an indication that other things are going wrong in my life. A lack of discernment usually reveals a sin in our lives. Let's look then quickly at the watching of discernment. How do we use this in our everyday life? And again, some of this we've already touched on. But number one, I'm going to use the term sentry. If you're not familiar with military terms, that is a guard. Okay, it's someone that's told to guard a particular position. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. That's an imperative, and it means to guard or to watch. Don't let anybody through. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, and we were in an operation. It was a training exercise, and I had been told to sit in a certain pass and to let nobody through that didn't have the password. The first person that tried me there was a colonel. Okay? If you know anything about the military, I'm an enlisted guy. He severely outranks me. And he had a major with him. And they walked up to my checkpoint, and I asked them to stop and give the password, and they refused. And I again told them to give the password, and he used his rank. He said, Marine, I was a Lance Corporal at the time, which is an E3, which is a barely above dirt. And he said, Marine, I am going to pass through here because I outrank you. And I said, sir, I hate to tell you this, but I've been told not to let anybody through that doesn't have the password. Now, do you have the password? I don't have the password. Well, he didn't actually say that. He just said, I'm coming through. Now, I had blanks in my weapon, by the way. I had a squad automatic weapon, which will shoot 100 rounds in just a few seconds. And he said, well, I'm coming. And I said, well, I'm going to light you up then. And he did, and I did. I just let go on that machine gun. It's interesting. No other squad that had been through this training made it through. You know what we found out later? That was why. The colonel was the enemy. And he would sneak in behind the troops and destroy everybody from behind enemy lines. Now, can I tell you something? Now, listen to this. I didn't know that. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know if I was going to get in trouble. I'm going to tell you what I knew. Somebody told me to stand there and not let anybody through unless they gave the password. That's exactly what I did. Now, I can tell you, when I shot him with blanks, my hands were trembling because I thought, I don't know what's about to happen. The major is hot, okay, with me. And then the colonel walks over and he says to me, good job, Marine. I was the enemy. Now, you listen to me. Most of the time, you will be able to recognize when somebody is a front to your enemy, right? You're like, okay, that, look. If kids are acting like dogs, we know that's wrong. We don't have to warn that. Okay, can I tell you? Where you're going to have a trouble is the guy that looks like you and acts like you and decides to be your friend, and he's the enemy. That's where you're going to have problems. We have to be a sentry. Paul warns that over and over again. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. You have to be a guard. You have to be a sentry. Are you guarding the truth that we have received and making sure that it is passed down to others? I don't have time to tell this story this morning, but if you want a fascinating story, go read some on the guards of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It is unbelievable what those guys commit to when they do that. But number two, we need to scrutinize. Again, Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The word prove there means to test, examine, scrutinize, to see whether genuine or not. Philippians 1 and verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. Excellent is to differ, to test, to prove. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Paul is urging believers to scrutinize everything they hear, to see that it is genuine, to distinguish between the true and the false, to separate the good from the evil. Don't be surprised, by the way, young people, when false teachers arise in the church. God warned us that over and over again. In the early church, how many books that's written either to individuals or New Testament church warn us about false prophets? They're all over the place. So we shouldn't be surprised when they walk in. By the way, what does a false prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing, look like? They look like a sheep. They're really good intimidators. And the other kind, too. You'll get that in a few minutes. We must take a close look at anything that claims to be truth. Truth will not mind, proving it has nothing to hide. So you need to scrutinize. Letter C, you need to secure. Hold fast that which is good. Keep secure. Don't move. Once we've discovered truth, then we must tenaciously cling to it. Letter D, we need to shun. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I personally believe the context of this text is judging preaching. One author says, those who are for laying aside reason in matters of revelation resemble one who would put out his eyes in order to use a telescope. In other words, when we're in teaching, preaching, when we're reading, we should use reason. Put your mind in gear. Again, this speaks to separation. We cannot truly discern if we're not going to shun some things. Number five, the weighing of discernment. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You know, the truth is, young people, sometimes your faith is going to be put to the test to prove it. Can I remind you of something? It's not to prove it to God. God didn't need to know whether or not Job was going to stand. But Job did. And we did. Because we needed to read the story of Job. We do. 1 Corinthians 3 and 13. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, trials reveal the true nature of people here. And fire will reveal everything that's true in the future. And I tell you, some of you are going to be mistreated. You're going to be falsely accused. I've had people tell lies about me. Do you know what I have to do? Let God worry about it. I had an older gentleman who was a layman years ago, probably 30 plus years ago, say to me, never defend yourself. Your friends don't need it and your enemies won't believe it anyway. Boy, that has been so helpful to me. So helpful to me. Can I tell you something, young people, and I'm almost done. I'm going to be wrong about things. I have been and I will be. So thank you for your patience with me. I'm still learning. Really, that's the truth. I'm still learning. But as I grow in knowledge of God and His Word, I want to be less and less wrong. Don't you want your life to become more and more in line with truth? I do. See, we have no choice but to be discerning if we'll please God. The world is getting more and more confusing. They claim there are no absolutes, but there must be. Truth is God's Word. Our lives depend upon it. Your ministry depends upon it. May we be like Solomon of old, who prays in 1 Kings 3 and verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great people? Young people, may God help you to be discerning. Now, I realize that this was a lot of material this morning. I wanted you to have it printed before you. Can I just encourage you? You don't have time to do that. I realize this in the next week or so because you've got other things on your mind. But can I encourage you to work through this again, maybe in your personal devotions in the month of May or something, and write down some truths that will help you to be that discerning people? You desperately need it. I desperately need it. Okay, we need these truths from God's Word. And it's interesting, okay, how many passages of Scripture I quoted this morning. Those all talk about the subject. It must mean it's important to God. There's a lot said in Scripture about this. Be discerning. Be discerning. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we need it so desperately. I need it. So would you help us, every one of us, faculty, staff, students, to be discerning.